beginning of Channel 2 Right. This beginning of Channel 2 Right and a continuation of the visit with Laura and Leola in town on Saturday, the 30th of August, 69, Labor Day weekend. This is a continuation of that visit, and this is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right, beginning of Channel 2 Right and a continuation of the visit with Laura and Leola in town at Saturday and the Labor Day weekend on the 30th of August, 69.
It did for me just like it did for Sister King.
Yeah.
It stopped my trouble.
But you watched it and knew what the effect was.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, the gallbladder's right in under your rib there, and when you get where...
You get a pain right
pain
in there.
Right in there, and it goes
and then
right
another thing,
there.
When your skin begins to turn green, and the gall... isn't going down through into the intestines like it's supposed to. Your gall it helps to digest your fat, see? And so if it passes on and does the work, you have no trouble. But if it backs up, then you have trouble.
Well, now, what does Mabel know about this?
She don't know. She
well,
doesn't.
She quotes you right, Mark.
Well, I guess she does. Yeah.
She just knows what you tell her about the thing
like
yeah,
this. Yeah. Well, at Bell, there's two or three things he has to take. Now, the E2 is a vitamin that will dilate. My thinking slowed down now, that guy.
Dilate the blood vessels?
The heart valves. Mm-hmm. And so when you get to where you can't, you would... have a stroke, you know, that nitroglycerin is what the medical doctor will give you. I give E2. That E2 will dilate, and if you keep taking that E2, it prevents it, see? So Fell keeps that all the time, and he can have a heart attack coming on, and he can take two of these and they'll stop it.
Oh. Well, now, does he know when to take them?
Yeah, he knows when to take them as soon as he feels that.
Oh.
You see,
it's like an angina.
When your cholesterol builds up.
Yeah.
When your cholesterol builds up and it's getting thick and not going through there, boy, you feel it.
Oh.
And you take that and it'll dilate that and it'll pass on through.
Oh. What's that, Leon?
I say it's like angina. You know, when those angina pains begin, the individual knows it pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a blockage in the bowels of the heart. And so when you take this, my little nephew had that. He died with that. And when those pains would come on, they taught him how to break one of those nitroglycerin capsules and breathe it. And it would relax and let the heart start functioning again.
You come with me in the kitchen now. I just want to show you something.
We don't come in and talk to anybody like this. They just.
Don't have time?
I don't know.
That's
mine not open.
That's right. Well, I've brought up a large family. And do you know what? I miss having young folks around me.
Yeah.
I miss it an awful lot. And when this granddaughter of mine, Ellen, comes here, oh, she and I and she, that tears just flows down her cheeks when she leaves here.
Yeah.
She's crazy about me.
Yeah.
I think I've showed you a picture several times. Yes, it is. Great granddaughter.
Yeah.
And now that's the way I looked when I was 12 years old.
Yeah. Oh, that's just beautiful.
Yeah.
That is just beautiful.
Yeah, and that's my husband's grandson, and he's mine, because...
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, well, this one lives in Jacksonville. He comes pretty often. But believe me, I don't like not to have children around. And yet, there's some children today. Now, my grandchildren are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that just because... they're my grandchildren, you know. I have a great-grandson. Now, I don't make over them. I don't buy them a lot of candy and junk that isn't good for them. Oh, I bought those little boys some flashlights and something like that. But do you know that that boy is 6 years old? And when I'm up in Jacksonville so sick I can't get up and go into the living room, first thing you know, he comes in very quiet, and off his shoes comes, and before you know it, the covers covered down, and he's crawling into bed.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's too cute for anything.
Yeah.
He went to the Kingdom Hall and goes regular. And when they were studying that in Revelation, where when the wicked are going to be destroyed, that they birds will eat the flesh off of their bones. Nobody paid any attention to him, but he was taking it in. So a day or two after that, his mother heard him out in the yard with this little Joey, the neighbor that he played with. He says, "Joey, you're going to have to be careful." He says, "If you aren't careful," straighten up, says, "you'll find yourself in a bird stomach." You wouldn't have thought he ever took it in.
Yeah, you never know what they
take it in. Yeah. Joey, you're going to have to be careful. He was doing something that Billy didn't think he ought to do. Now, Joey, you're going to have to be careful. He says, if you ain't careful, you're going to end up in a bird stomach.
But now the children will go to the Kingdom Hall and listen.
Well, then, and when it comes their turn, they have their little 5-minute Bible talk. They get up in front of the congregation and give. Now, of course, their parents help them some.
There was a professor coming in on a train from someplace up north, and at the same time, there was a lady coming in for treatment to see Dr. Jones. And so they got to talking, and when she was telling about Jehovah's Witnesses, and this party thought the idea of young folks doing anything about it, and she told them that we had children, or they all preached. They were all preachers. That is the thing she resented, saying that all of Jehovah's Witnesses was preachers, and they taught the Bible. And so this professor thought, I'm going to that Kingdom Hall and see. And that boy right there got up. He was 9 years old, and he it was his turn to get up and give a Bible talk. And that professor says, I can apologize, and I feel like I've got to apologize to Jehovah's Witnesses for things I've said about them. Says, when I went there and saw a young boy like that get up and give a wonderful Bible sermon, he says, I felt like I had something I had to apologize for.
Well, they don't even do that in school, I don't imagine.
No, well, they're not supposed to in school, I guess, on the count of
Well,
law.
I mean...
I know.
I mean, but do the same sort of thing.
Yeah. But if you don't train up a child in the way, they'll go. Now, he is a servant in one of the congregations out there in California where he lives. And he brings up his children in the way they should go. You don't have trouble with children if you bring them up the way they ought to. Now, when you were coming up a way back yonder, it was quite different from what it is now, wasn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
It seems to me like, I may remember wrong, but it seems to me like I listen to the adults. And if I go over and work with somebody, I worked out in the farm. I just sort of watch them and sort of fall into it that way.
Yeah.
It never occurred to me to have ideas on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when boys come out there to help me,
They know more about it than you do.
They don't wait for me to set the pace.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If they've never even seen a piece of equipment before, they'll get on and try to use it.
Yeah, I believe it. Because they feel they know.
Yeah.
They don't know what they don't know. That's the trouble.
Yeah.
If they really knew they didn't know, they'd try to learn. But they don't know they don't know, therefore they don't have to learn.
When did you have that trouble with your back?
When I had that injury?
Yeah.
When I was just 50 years old.
And that almost got you.
Yeah.
And you fell?
I was punched right in through there, and the rib was put pushed in there and back off of the spine, and my husband put those bones in place.
She fell over the, and she fell and landed across the arm of a chair.
Yeah.
I punched a hole in my liver.
Yeah.
And that boy and another boy had to lift me out of bed. I couldn't get up out of bed, but I could walk.
Yeah.
When they get me up, I could walk.
Yeah.
But
now you kind of cured yourself?
Well, my husband, you see, was a physician.
Yeah.
And of course he knew what had to do. Those bones had to be put back in place and kept there.
Yeah.
And of course he taped them so it would stay in place. And so of course, so far as medicine is concerned, we always decided on our own medicine.
Yeah.
You know, I think that'd be a remarkable thing to have it. Know enough about medicine, things like that, where you could know what you're doing.
I've had to know. When you're allergic to it.
Yeah.
It's just like a boy over here in, was working with my daughter, this boy's mother. She worked 21, 22 years over here at the university. And there was a young man from this next town west of here. Newberry. His father got sick and they called the doctor, and the doctor come in, and of course he gave him a dose of sulfur drug, and he just about died. He almost lost that.
Yeah.
He said, "Don't you ever let anybody give you sulfur drug again."
Yeah.
A year later, he got sick and they called a different doctor. And of course, what'd they give him? Sulfur drugs, and he died. Well, now, from my viewpoint, it wasn't necessary. The next doctor's called in there after he comes from near dying. Whoever was responsible for calling a doctor in should have told him he can't take sulfur drugs. See? But that man's been gone. That young man hasn't had a father for a long time. And there's so many people have gone into untimely deaths that I almost resent it sometimes.
Yeah. Now, Cora wasn't interested in this.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. She wouldn't go to anybody but Dr. Jones. Yes, she was interested.
She took her vitamin.
Whatever we said for her to take, she took it.
Yeah.
But you see, she was what? Was she about 75 or more?
She was 86 when she died.
86 when she died.
She died in 58. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 58.
So she 86. Lived a good long time. Of course, she didn't know my husband that long.
And she came to this country around 1940.
No, Cora was born in this country. It was Minnie that came to this country that was German.
Minnie and her husband and her brother.
And her brother, yes.
Yeah.
But Cora was American born.
She wasn't brought up around here. I forget where she came from.
Kansas?
Kansas. Well,
Kansas, I think.
She just happened to turn up here.
But being a pioneer, that wherever the society thought the need was great and there weren't no witnesses there to give the people a message concerning God's kingdom, they'd send people like them into that territory to work. And they were the first ones that ever worked in Alachua County, the three of them, see.
Well, now, what do you remember about Cora? What did she talk to you about?
What did she talk to me about? She talked about the Bible most of the time, didn't she?
Did she have little study sessions like you do?
Had
that little book?
She went from door to door all the time.
And we had, of course, we had, they were larger books then.
Yeah.
But
she went,
that was her work,
That's all they did.
Only they gave all time to it. See, I don't. But they gave all their time to it. If they were in a farming community, by 7 o'clock in the morning, they were out in the community calling at the homes of the people.
7 o'clock in the morning.
Because the farmers got up early,
Yeah.
And And sometimes they just be coming in for breakfast then. They've been working 3-4 hours on out in the farm. And they be start coming in for breakfast then. So they get them, you see, when they be at the house.
But now Cora was interested in about the same thing that you know.
Exactly.
That you are interested in.
Doc and I pioneered for 6 years, and during the Depression we pioneered up in Georgia, and do you know that the people didn't have money to contribute for the books? I think we got about 50 cents. We might not have got that much for a book like that then. These Bible aids we'd leave with them, and they'd often give a can of syrup, a gallon of syrup that most farmers would make. And sometimes they'd give chickens, and we'd take chickens, we'd take anything just to get the message in there. And we'd go back and study with them when they wanted to study. And we spent 6 years in Georgia and Florida and a little bit in North Carolina pioneering. And then the judge told Doc that he wanted him to be a congregation servant, and he, first place then he took was down in Bradenton, and they weren't. There were 7 women there that was interested. We started that congregation, and we had a big congregation when we left there. There's a big congregation there now. My brother lives there, so.
Well, I don't remember here, and I don't remember hearing you talk about pioneering with Dr. Long.
Well, I can't tell you all the things. It takes too much time.
That's a subject that she hasn't hit upon.
Six years. But it was a lot of fun.
Well, that means that's all they did.
That's all we did. That's 6 years, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. But let me tell you when I first learned the truth.
But Lord help us.
In North Carolina.
These people that are old now, that have made their life work as pioneers for in 50 years.
I've been in the truth for about 48 or 49 years. I've been a Jehovah's Witness. And I wouldn't be anything else. Nobody else knows the Bible, and we don't know too much about it, you know. But we know the Bible's word, God's word, and we take it for just what it says.
And according to your best understanding.
Yeah. And Jehovah's Witnesses are the only people on the face of the earth that take the Bible as their guide and believe what it says and believe that it's God's word. You can't find 2 religions in the United States that believe alike.
Now you don't mix. But this thing is 6 years.
Yeah, we've been here for 6 years. Yeah.
Well, and then you the people you talk to, like me.
Yeah.
You just it's sort of kindergarten, isn't it?
Yeah.
You never get to talk sense with them, really.
Beg pardon? We used to go back, and we'd go back as long until we'd work a territory. We'd take a county, and we'd call on all those homes, and wherever we found interest, we'd go back and conduct the Bible studies as long as we were working in that vicinity. Then when we finished this county, we'd go to another county, and we'd work it, you know. And then we'd try to go back and visit those that we found interested, but there's so many of them, you couldn't hardly do that.
In those countries, you know, they have those hollows. You call them hollows. A little creek runs down through, and you leave your car down here, and then you walk up the hollow and take the. And they carried a lot of empty crates on their cars when they went to those places because they'd get chickens. And 2-3 of them would go together up the hollow, and they'd come back, and everybody had their hands full of chickens probably when they got back.
Put them in the cup in the back of the car and take them, and then take them and sell them, and then we buy more books, see?
That's the way you get the money to operate on.
Yeah.
Little Minnie Maya, she would work in town, mostly, and Henry and Cora would go out into the country. And Minnie would take anything that anybody wanted to exchange for a book. Bar soap, spool of thread, candles,
And she'd take a lot of soap in exchange, and then on Saturday she'd put the soap in the basket and she'd go around and call people's houses and sell the soap. And that's the way they got.
Duncan and I, we had a little money when we started out, but we were always helping poor pioneers. We'd run into pioneers that didn't have money for gas hardly or anything, and we were always helping them out. See, and at the end of 6 years, we were running just a little short. We never run out. But...
your pants were getting a little baggy?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a wonderful life. I wouldn't have it different.
Yeah.
One day I placed a Bible with a woman out in the country and she gave me 50 soft drink bottles.
Doc and I would place as many as 60 books a day with people that was interested.
Yeah.
Up in Georgia.
That's the White College.
Well, no, it's Bible study books.
Bible study books.
Yeah,
over
study
there.
Books, yeah. Like Let God Be True, Bible study books. No, the Watchtower, we'd have them subscribe and let it come to them. They could read it any time it came, see. Like this latest Awake here. Have you read the latest Awake? Where is that, Leora, where it tells this condition ahead? That stirs me.
Wait, is
this? Read it to him.
He'd rather you
know.
This isn't the one.
No, this is.
Well, let me tell you, Laura, before you get off on that.
Yeah.
That study book you got, that requires a right smart background.
Yeah.
Unless you know how to study, that won't do you any good.
Well, I know how to study.
Well, that's where we get our information when to meet people that make those statements, and then we can refute it. That's why we have to do so much study.
Well, what I'm talking about is you give out 60 of those a day, I think it'd be hard to find 60 people a day who could actually read that.
Oh, yeah, they could. Most people can read. But the thing, we'd ask them is certain questions, and then we'd show them how to find the answer to all our questions. And we'd leave them so they could study it by themselves after we left, because in that day and time, there weren't so many witnesses. There's comparatively few to what they are now. And so they all needed help. And we meet people now that got the truth from some pioneer way back yonder, you know. And when we first come here, any pioneer...
You want me to read that out again?
Yeah, that's sure.
If you want to taste that while I read it, go ahead and then you can have it to run over.
It shows that...
It's just 2 pages, won't take...
That's too long to read. Just give
it
a gist.
Sorry. Says, in March 1968, the economic system of the Western world seemed on the verge of collapsing. Its underpinnings were badly shaken by the worst money crisis since 1931. Gold was being bought on the world gold markets in London, Paris, and Zurich at a feverish rate because people were losing faith in the soundness of paper.
Well, that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. Yeah, that's the first article in the latest Awake.
I have got to excuse myself because I have to...
You have to go out?
I have an appointment, yes.
Well, it's time for me to go. I've just been enjoying this talk.
Well, I've enjoyed having you here.
Can't leave.
You see, I don't always have somebody to talk to.
I imagine you have a good many people to talk to.
At times I have quite a few come in and then other times...
Thank you. I enjoyed seeing you. I'll try to see you too.
Okay. Times I have people, many people, and other times it's kind of quiet, but I like it anyway.
You all, now, none of you ever talk politics when you find it, when you go out.
We aren't interested in politics. What good would it do for us to go out here and vote for somebody that's looking to some man to bring about a righteous condition? There's no man on earth that could do it. Only Jehovah God through his beloved Son can bring about a righteous condition. What would be the object?
You can't do both.
No. Daniel says, in the days of these kings, meaning these dictator kings that's living upon the earth today, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It will not be left to other people, but it will break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That's the kingdom that is just ahead now.
Now that is a kingdom that you, when you go out, that you talk about.
That's all we talk about, yeah. What else can bring peace and happiness and health and security? Man can't do it. They've tried and failed, haven't they? And what do they do? They're just fighting one another and grabbing for money. Now, isn't that true? Right. All you have to do is read the papers.
Yeah. I don't know. Ms., you know...
Sister Spears, I conducted a study at her home for a long time. Yeah, and neighbors come in, and Sister Patterson would be there, and Marguerite Smith would be there, and there were some other people lived down nearby that would come, and McQuinney's that lived down there, they would come, and we had quite a study down there.
Mm-hmm. It just seems so promising. When you can get together, mm-hmm. and people put, not they don't just come and drink Cokes, you see.
No, that's
but
right.
They have studied it.
Yeah, and they discuss them. Now we go in, we have a prayer, we have a set study. Some we've already maybe looked up and studied some. And we have a prayer, and then we ask questions, and the different ones answers them, you know, and we have our lesson. And if we want any social event afterwards, well, we might discuss something socially. But we're not society folks either.
I don't know anything else where people get together, they put their minds to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just don't know. It looks like it's unusual.
Well,
it's unusual.
It's God's way, it isn't man's way.
You think this will last? You think you'll still find people who will put their minds to it like this? Like
yeah, we still find them. Yeah, yeah. No. I think, I don't know whether to say they're not as many as they used to be. I don't know that I can even say that. There's still a lot of people that are studying, see? There's still people, how many was dedicated? I think 2,000 to 3,000 right up here and just in Georgia at this assembly. And they were from congregations like here and surrounding territory. And then, and when they had the one in Washington, not Washington, D.C., but they had one in New York, they would be 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 symbolize their dedication there. That means that they dedicate their life to Jehovah. And from that time on, they're going to try to live a life that'll be pleasing to Him. That's what dedication means.
Now, Dr. Jones, while he was busy in the office, he still would go out and conduct
patient man come in here and they wanted him to do something for them. He'd take them in and diagnose them, and while they were under treatment, he used electricity, he used herbs, he used medicine, he used manipulation, he used massage, whatever was indicated, you know. And then while the machines, the electric machines, is giving them supersonic, electronic, or a shortwave, or diathermy, or whatever. He was talking truth to them.
Right?
Talking Bible to them. Yeah,
right?
yeah. He couldn't keep still. It was just a part of him. He was the most wonderful man I ever knew.
I just don't see why that can't be done.
It can be done and is being done by a lot of people, but not as many as it should be. You see, this old system's going out and a new system's coming in. And these people that are doing this, guy, is preparing to live in the new world. And they're expecting to live in the new world.
I don't know any way I could go that they would treat me and talk to me like Dr. Jones did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have no idea where I'd go,
mm-hmm.
where to find anything like that. Let me tell you, my barber, all last year during the during the politics, he talked about Governor Wallace.
About what?
Governor Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the only time that I have been where they talk. They tried to talk sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he studied it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
He's a barber.
Mm-hmm.
And he put his mind into it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't think that Governor Wallace or anybody else would bring about the millennium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he thought that was right.
Mm-hmm.
But now the thing of it is, he talked about what he thought was right. Now, he had a sense of humor,
mm-hmm.
and people enjoyed themselves in
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But even that's rare, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I go, people can talk about baseball.
I wouldn't waste my time with it. You know what? I wouldn't know what they were doing if I watched it.
You know, one thing I
played with her, and then she and I, she talked it to her neighbors, and one time she said, I want you to come down here and help me work with my neighbors and get them in the truth. That's what we call it. Getting them to where they will study the Bible on their own and try to live by it. That's what we want. We don't say to convert them. We want to teach them how to be true Christians. That's what we want to do. Billy Graham converts them, and where do they go? Not any better off than they were before, are they? You see what I mean? He doesn't teach them how to be Christians.
Yeah.
He makes a lot of money on it.
I guess.
Yeah, he does. He makes a lot of money.
Well, I'll gather my stuff up and move, but I certainly haven't got to talk to her. Let me see now.
We haven't heard that lecture yet. When can you come back?
You know, this the last few weeks I haven't been coming in much. It's the first time, you know, I have been working.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't come in every day.
Oh,
like
I see. Uh-huh. You don't have to work 12 months a year.
Well, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do something else, you know, and I just do that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of gets in your blood, and just do it all.
People up there, I'll tell you a little secret. They think that it's getting a little difficult for me to do everything for myself I should do, I guess. But, you know, I'm pretty well satisfied in just doing what I can do and leaving everything else go.
Yeah.
And,
now she's in Jacksonville.
Yeah, she's in Jacksonville, yeah. And I have to go up and see them a little once in a while to keep them happy. But otherwise, I like to stay here. I'll tell you, I can live independent here. Things topsy-turvy. Well, it don't bother anybody but me.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it, do I?
Yeah.
See? All I have to worry about is not to fall again. I'll be a severe fall.
Oh, yeah.
I have to worry about that. And
you ought to.
Yeah.
Not worry, but just be careful.
I am careful. But I have kept myself from falling many times because a long time I had an imbalance condition, and that's much better now than it was, and I'm happy. And it isn't because I'm younger, but they feel like they ought to have me with them. And here I can go in, I can take my bath. I can't get in the tub and get out. I get in that hot water, I can't lift myself out of the tub. But I can walk in my shower and stand under. I can even wash my hair and stand there and let that shower rinse it good. And I like to be do everything I can. I don't like to have people do things for me. Oh, I appreciate it, but I mean I've had to do for others, and I love to do for others, and I'm sorry I can't do for other people now. But do you know, you never saw a person in your life like to be independent as well as I do.
Yeah.
I like to do everything, and here at home, I do everything by myself.
Dr. Jones is like that.
Yeah, he was like that, yes.
Your daddy was like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Just about everybody you ever lived with was like that.
Yeah. And we loved it.
Yeah.
But I've done an awful lot of nursing. I've taken people in the home and taken care of them and until they died, they couldn't take care of themselves and enjoyed every minute of it. I've lifted them in bed and rolled them and taken care of them, and I enjoyed it. But if somebody has to do that for me, Guy, it's going to break my heart.
Do you think that's one reason that you like the witnesses is that they encourage that sort of thing? They let you get into it and see it yourself?
And what?
And work it out yourself and learn it
No,
yourself.
What I like Jehovah's Witnesses is they love the Almighty God Jehovah and they accept Him as the true God and they are studying to show themselves approved unto Him and they want to live by His word, you know, by His instructions and it's the only way to live. Now that's why I like to be a witness. Now, I like to get other people interested in studying God's Word and see what a wonderful God. Many people don't know God. Many people think they're serving false. They are serving false God and don't know it. And many people don't know there's a true living God whose name alone is Jehovah. Many people call themselves Christians and don't believe in Jehovah, the Almighty Creator. Now, you know that's true.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pitiful.
But you just can't go out and talk to people. They won't listen. There's something has to take place. They've got to be willing to listen somehow.
Well, listen, as long as I could go from door to door, I did it. The last time my daughter saw me go to the door, knock on the door for somebody to come, and I was having to hold on to keep from falling, she said, "Don't let me ever see you do that again." So they stopped me from going from door to door, and I wasn't able to go. But, Guy, when somebody comes here, and I can talk to them about the Bible, it makes me very happy. The happiest part of my life. And you know, there's 8, 10, or 11 people come here, and I study with them here in the home. I study the Bible with them. Now, I'm not too good anymore, because I've been in the truth since a way back. I first learned a little about 1918. I symbolized my dedication in 1920. And I met these people. I lived in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and just 30 miles west of there was Greensboro. And I met these people, the McLams. And he was in the truth back in 1918 when those brothers at Bethel was arrested and put in prison for their faith in Jehovah God, and you remember, you've read about it, I'm sure you know about it. Well, they were kept in there 9 months and turned loose, and Bethel was just practically left without anybody there to look after things. And when they were released from prison, George T. McLam, this friend of mine, told his wife to make him a jacket with a big lining in it. He was in wholesale grocery business. And he made him a big jacket with a lining in it, and he stuffed it full of money. He just, that was just a jacket of money. And he fastened it up here, and he went up to Bethel, Watchtower Bible and Tract Society headquarters, and he knew they would need to open up again and start their work, you know. And he took that money up there and gave it to them to start in business again up there. See? So you can see how long I've been associated with this. And there was just three of them, Brother McLam and his wife, Sarah, and then Sister Eller, she was a teacher in one of the colleges up there, and she got the truth, and they invited her to come in the home and live with them, and she did. She made her home with them as long as she lived. He died, and finally she died, and then last of all, Sister Eller died. But it's a great pleasure to look back, the association I had with those friends. And we'd go out on Sunday, from door to door, we'd take our lunch, and we'd go in a car, and one would take one home, another would take another home, and we'd talk the Bible to these people and start home Bible studies with them. And I'm telling you, Guy, I wouldn't trade my life. Some people think they have a good life doing the things they want to do, but I did the things I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, when was that?
It was 1918 that they were arrested and put in prison. It was about 19, and 9 months was all it was in. That was when the first of this, but when I met the McLams, it was about 1922, see.
And you all went out together?
We all went out together, yeah.
And one of them went from one house to another?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talked about it.
Yeah. And you've done that ever since?
And yeah, and listen, you know, during World War One and World War Two, they had people that was interested in the truth and their sons would go to war, and they would go, and they told me, now these sisters told me this, that not one boy, those families would go, and I want you to pray for this boy. I want Jehovah to bring him back. And they faithfully prayed for those boys as long as they was in a, and not one lost their life. Every one was brought back. Now I wasn't in the truth in 1918 when my brother went to war, and he wasn't brought back. I was in false religion, and I thought it was all right for him to go. But I didn't know the Bible said he that taketh up the sword must fall by the sword. I seem not to know enough about my Bible when it says do not kill, but I was like a lot of worldly people. I thought, well, yes, those Germans were doing so bad, they'd have to go kill them. But I changed my mind when I learned a little more about the Bible.
What did you do in World War II?
I didn't do anything. I didn't have a thing to do with it. But of course we...
But you knew better by then.
Oh yes, we knew better then. And I think we've been responsible in helping a lot of other people know what to do. I've advised friends of mine go up here to prison. And friends of mine did in this last war go to prison rather than go and kill their fellow man. And if I was a man, I would prefer to do that any time, go and serve time in the prison. Now, the boys were not treated bad. Friends of mine that went to Tallahassee or up there where that prison is and served time, rather than go into the army, they were treated nice. They were treated very nice. I have a friend of mine that he was given a lot of good training there that was good for him, you know.
Yeah.
And they were not treated bad.
Well, now, whenever you were out like that, You see people actually sort of at their best when you and the McLeans were out like that.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to talk social talk, and you could just talk what you wanted to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't have to chit chat.
No. I'm afraid I wouldn't know how to chit chat much. I'm not very good at that. I've never been.
Well, now that's when so I get around to people, that's what I hear.
But I can't stand it.
You see, they just talk about this, that, and other, about whatever comes up.
But it isn't interesting, is it? Maybe.
I don't know.
It isn't to me.
But that's what most talk is, I think.
I know it. But I'm not interested in it. And I don't think I could interest myself in it. Bible says, whatsoever good. Whatsoever true, whatsoever, quote that scripture.
Good review.
Yeah, think on these things.
But that's not
Satan's world.
No, sir, even the finest people I know don't do that. They just don't do it. They just don't do it.
They don't know how to be a true Christian. This is what makes me sad, is people go to church and they think they're doing what God requires.
Yeah.
But they aren't.
Well, now, when you're talking to people, you can talk about it. The subject doesn't always matter so much. It's your attitude towards it.
No.
You don't have to, you just don't have to talk about any one subject when you're out with people, do you?
No, I can talk about anything I want to.
Talk about anything.
Yeah.
But it's your attitude towards it. It's not chit-chatting.
Mm-hmm.
Not chit-chatting. You can talk about doctrine.
Yeah.
And you still got the, you can still bring in the right attitude to it. Well, you study it just like you do your...
No, I'm going to tell you. What I've enjoyed more about treating patients or working with patients is the one thing that makes me so sad is when a person has gone a little mentally off and people are cruel to them. Oh, boy, I can't take that. I just can't take it. Listen, if one's mentally off, they need the kindest, the greatest understanding at that time than any other time. And you know, sometimes that's all it takes. It's all it takes to bring them out of it. Treat them with kindness.
You know, I've been over to Miss Patterson's a lot of times and talked to her and Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember just sitting around there at chit chat.
No.
They always talk about something that's worth hearing.
Yeah. Well, they're good people.
Yeah.
Now, he's never studied the Bible much, but he's still that kind of a person.
Yeah, but he understands what you're all saying.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah. He knows he's going to live in a new world.
He knows what you're all talking
about. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I don't know but what. Armageddon's not too far off. And I think your home's probably a good place. But I pray the angels there just to protect you and your family when Armageddon comes. Because the angel of the Lord is camping around about those that fear him. You know what it means to fear Jehovah? Have you ever thought about what it means to fear? The fear of Jehovah is beginning as wisdom. Now, what does it mean to fear him? What would your answer be?
Keep your mind on something.
It would be afraid to do that which would be displeasing to him.
Yeah.
Now, I would be afraid to do that which would be displeasing to Jehovah. And that's the beginning of wisdom. And all true wisdom comes from God. So if we're afraid to do that which would be displeasing to him, we're not going to go far all far.
You know, you've been lucky in two ways. You see, you have this interest in the witnessing, and then in the medical, the nursing side.
Yeah.
So that
I was nursing in 1918.
You've always had something sensible to talk about. You haven't had to do a lot of that chit chat.
I'm afraid that I couldn't take just too much chit chat. I'm not interested.
No.
You get what I mean?
Yeah. But so why did that go wrong?
Oh, but how can they take it? How can they take it? I see programs on television. Oh, I can't stand them. I have to turn them off.
Yeah. Well, now you see, look at Miss Spears out there in the country. She's got, she just has to run around with the neighbors and talk about what they understand if she didn't have something like this to hold on to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I was so busy when I was able to work. We didn't have time to be sociable with the neighbors, and nearly all that were neighbors then are not here now. And these were people that my next-door neighbors now are people that moved in here when I was very ill and wasn't even able to. And we've never been neighborly. Now, I've waved at some of them across the street. And the lady here next door has been in several times. I'm probably not as, but I'm a little afraid to try to walk. You know, when she comes, her children comes, I try to be friendly with them. This woman across here, she don't like the witnesses. Therefore, now her husband's mother and I were good friends. Not that she liked the witnesses, but she just liked me as a person, that's all. She was... What was she? I've forgotten now what she was. Kind of Christian scientist, I believe. I tried to be once.
Well, now, most people you know are witnesses.
Yeah. Most people I know are witnesses.
Do you have more in common with them?
That's right. That we understand each other, and our association is compatible, and we love one another, and we understand one another now. I've got a brother that's a Baptist preacher. He thinks I'm wonderful. But do you know what? He's still a Baptist preacher.
Yeah.
He did get enough of truth to quit preaching. But he still
believes that old Baptist doctrine.
Yeah.
Can you explain that to me?
He
don't want to give up his social life with them. That's trouble, I think.
What was Brother Bender like? I never knew him. I've just seen him.
He was a good man. He was he had not studied the Bible a long time like some of us had. And I think he did what he thought was right, but I think he's like a lot who come in the truth. It takes them a long time to get to really mature, to be a mature Christian.
Yeah.
A lot of people that I was associated with when I first come in the truth were really mature Christians, you know, and it was a great blessing to be associated with those mature Christians, you know.
That's it. Anything like this takes so long to mature.
Yes, it does. It really does.
What happened to Brother Ben?
He went where the need was great. He went in a county in Alabama, I believe, where there was only 5 people in the whole county that was really interested in the truth. So he's starting right there from the ground up, and he's going to teach, and they'll work the whole county with the Bible literature, and they'll take care of these people that's there. They'll have Bible study with them, and everybody they can find that wants a Bible study.
Now the cassette gave out. Now this is another one, and I don't know just what the subject is.
1:00 I want to eat. My breakfast and lunch, and I do. And then about 4 to 5 I want to eat again. And that's the balance. That balances it all.
How long you been doing that?
Well, I lost my memory when I was 23, and I had to take memory courses, and one instructor in Chicago told me that he thought if I left breakfast off, it would help. And I did it. I did everything that they said would help, you know. Anyway, I did what he told me to, and my memory did get better. I took several memory courses. When I was 22, I couldn't tell you my brothers and sisters' names.
What happened to you?
I was very ill from the time I was 18 till I was 22.
Oh.
And I think it was the medicine that was given me during that time that affected my memory. And I think that's why now in my old age, I think that's why it's my memory's kind of slowed down. Mm-hmm. It's having trouble with it before, don't you think so?
And he told you breakfast.
Yeah, I leave my breakfast off. I left it off.
And you never got back to it?
Well, I've never got to where I want to get up of a morning early and eat a breakfast.
You just eat breakfast and lunch together?
Yeah, 11:00. Now, of course, if I have company, I serve breakfast at meal at a regular time, and I'll serve my lunch at a regular time. But I don't have much company that is here at mealtime. Most of my company is just people that drop in between times, you know. Now, when I have relatives come through visiting, I fix meal at regular intervals just like anybody else. Just try to make them happy, you know. I have a mature brother friend in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He lost his voice. He had cancer in here. We never talked this, we never told patients, I mean people around here. The medical doctors are so against anything that's unorthodox, you know. But he'd lost his voice, and he'd gone to medical men, and he couldn't get his voice back at all. They said he had cancer in the throat. Dr. Jones cured that man, and that was about between 15 and 20 years ago. He's a mature Christian. He's one of Jehovah's Witnesses. And I called him the other night. He lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I told him, I said,
I just felt like I had to talk to a mature Christian, and I says, I just had to call you up. He said they might come down, he and his wife, this fall. And his voice is just as clear and now, and that was between 18, 20 years ago. And now his voice is still, he's right close to 80, I guess, but he don't sound like it. He sounds just like a young man, just like you do. Anyway, if he comes down, I'm going to see that you see him and meet him.
I'd love to.
Yeah, you would love to. You'd love to talk to him. He's quite a talker.
Well, now, Brother Bender talked well.
Yes, yes.
He spoke well, put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
He's young.
Yeah, he's young.
And he was active.
Yeah, yes, he was active.
But it'd take a long time to get sort of mature Christian, wouldn't it?
Well, I think it takes some people much longer than others. I think it depends a great deal in the individual. Some people, now I think the advantage I had, I'm not trying to call attention to myself, but my father and mother, they had a large family and they felt that responsibility. And we were given our Bibles. Now, they never sat down and studied with us. And they gave good advice. I know when I wanted to go to a neighborhood dance, my mother says, well, I'd rather you wouldn't go. I'll tell you why. When I was a girl, such and such happened. They was having a dance in the neighborhood, and a friend of mine, I think it was a friend of hers that went, and some drunken men come in and was talking very well, wasn't talking like respectful, and says, you know, if this friend of mine hadn't been there, she wouldn't have had to have been subjected to this. And she says, it pays to be careful who you associate with. So I don't know whether she ever talked what they talked to the boys, but I remember one time, I was quite young, a whole group of them, they'd all come to our house, and they'd all, the girls would all play up to me because of my brothers. I had four brothers older than me, and of course they were very attractive. And they were going to a house where I knew they had dances, and we were all out boating on the river there and having a good time. And then they decided they'd go over to this house where these people, there were some young girls and maybe a boy or two anyway, they were all going over there. And I decided, no, I can't go over there. No, my mother will be unhappy if I go over there. And I'll tell you what I did. There was a house between where we were leaving from and where these people lived. And rather than to go up there and disappoint my mother, I hardly knew these people. But I went in there and told them I wanted to stay there with them until my brothers came back from this place. And I stayed there with those almost perfect strangers rather than to go up there and disappoint my mother. See?
Yeah.
And my brothers didn't seem to worry about me going. Well, they'd always say, now I'm going to be there. And I remember when they had, next to the oldest brother was the one that always chaperoned me, and I never even went to church alone when I was growing up.
Oh.
I always had a big brother to go with me because I had four brothers older than me. And my next to the oldest brother seemed to take a delight in, well, being, looking after me. And so when I'd go to church, he'd go with me. And when I went with my first boyfriends, he was pretty close for that. So you see, I was kind of protected much more than the average person was.
Mm-hmm.
So probably I have been more strict with my girls and my children than the average person would. And if I had to associate with bad people, it would make me very unhappy, you know, because I never have. Now, I'm not saying that thinking, trying to make you think I'm better than other people. I don't think I am better than other people. The only way you can be good is by learning Jehovah's requirements and carrying them out. That's the only way, there's the only way to be good. And the Bible says none's good but God, insofar as being good. But some people can, their standards can be a little higher than others.
But now that's unusual. You can sort of, you can depend on your brothers.
Yeah, and I could depend on my brothers.
You were lucky and had older brothers.
Yeah, and that was, I was lucky that way, see?
I imagine brothers would sort of take at us.
Oh yes, they would.
They would then.
Yeah, I know it was Stiley Sin, and my family didn't have too much money. They had a big family. And I wanted, it was established to wear a big broad ribbon sash around your waist. And I wanted one so bad. And my father had such a large family. And there wasn't any such, wasn't big wages them days. He made good money, but I don't know how he could do it, but he did it. And anyway, my brother said, well, if you want one, I'll get it for you. I'll never forget that. Now, if you want one of those big ribbons, I'll get it for you. So it just shows the family was very close together.
And you live with a family until you've grown.
Yeah, until I married. I married too young. My mother was very strict with me. My father wasn't.
But your mother didn't have much time for you.
No, she was having babies and taking care of her babies and supervising cooking and everything. My mother was a very busy woman. She died at 56. Boy, she's going to be brought back. Won't that be wonderful? She's just as sure to be brought back as we're sitting. That's the only thing that I, you know, the heavenly class will be able to see and know what's going on and can do for people. You know, they'll be able to do for people. They'll be able to do an awful lot for the great multitude. But do you know, that's one thing I hate to miss is physically seeing those that are brought back and explain to them things that happened after they died and explain God's purposes to them. That's the greatest privilege that a person, or one of the greatest. It isn't the greatest, but it's one of the greatest.
Yeah.
You know, that.
Sort of like catching your friends up on the news.
Yeah. Won't it be wonderful to tell people after they died what happened just after they died and bring them up to date on things? I'll tell you, it's wonderful to be one of the Lord's other sheep. It is wonderful.
Your mother didn't have much chance to study.
She never knew that. I wrote her about it. After I got the truth, I wrote her about it. And she said, must be wonderful to be associated with the people you're explaining. She says they must be wonderful people. But my father, she died at 56. And my father, when I went, as soon as I got the truth and went and talked to him, why, that's so-and-so. I began to talk Bible to him. Why, that's it such-and-such. And he'd turn and read it. And I'd say, well, that's it such-and-such. And he'd turn and read, and he'd got the truth just like that.
This is the end of Channel 2 Right. This is the end of Channel 2 Right. And a visit with Laura and Leola on Saturday the 3rd of August, 69. On Saturday the 3rd of August, 69, and the Labor Day weekend. This is the end of Channel 2 Right. And a part of the visit with Laura and Leola on Saturday.